الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on how to get our du'as accepted. And as I mentioned yesterday, the first and foremost requirement is that we make our lives obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The du'a is what the abd asks his Rabb. And for that we have to show that we are ubud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ubudiyat is the requirement of that. And that means obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in everything that he ordered. And in that, the arkan of Islam come first, and therefore everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forth. The second most important condition is that we earn and eat halal. This is a very critical requirement of dua. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the one whose earning and eating his food and his earning is not halal, a man came, he was praying and making dua, and he said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, this. Nabi ﷺ looked at him and he said, this man, his food, he knew the person. He said, this man, his earning is haram, his clothes are haram, his food is haram. How will Allah accept his dua? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, famous hadith which I mentioned so many times. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu once came back from somewhere, and he asked his servant, is there anything to drink or eat? The servant gave him a bowl of milk. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu drank it. After he drank it, the servant said, before you eat or drink anything, you always ask me, where did this come from? Today you did not ask me. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I ask you because I am careful about this, so I expect you to be careful. So where did this come from? The man said that I used to be a magician. I used to be a sorcerer before I became Muslim. And one day I did some sorcery for a tribe which lives outside of Medina. He said, they had not paid me. Today I was passing by that place, so they gave me this milk as payment. So I brought it. You asked me for something to drink. I gave it to you. You drank it. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu then put his fingers inside his throat and he started vomiting. And he kept on vomiting until he brought up blood. So the people gathered, they stopped him and they said, what are you doing? You will kill yourself. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I have heard from my Habib. Who is his Habib? Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, I have heard from my Habib that if a morsel of food, which includes food and drink, if a morsel of haram food enters the body and is digested and becomes part of the body, the fire of Jahannam is wajib on this body. May Allah protect us. Now, think about this. Whenever I mention this hadith, I tell people, all of us today, people who like to eat all kinds of doubtful stuff, they have, everyone is a mufti. Yeah? And they bring you fatwa. What about this alim's fatwa, that alim's fatwa? You ask the alim who gave you the fatwa. This particular story of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What is the ruling of fiqh on this? The milk belonged to the man. It did not belong to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Right? The man got it as payment for his work, whatever the work was. What is the hukum with regard to getting a gift from your Muslim brother? If I come to your house, whether your income is halal or haram, if you invite me for a meal and I come and eat food in your house, even if your food has been purchased with your haram income, it is jais for me, because for me, it is your gift. As long as fi nafsi, as long as by itself it is halal, if you are not feeding me pork or something. Other than that, whether your income is halal or not is not my job to find out. So the same food from the same plate we are eating, for you it is haram, for me it is halal. Because you earned it with haram means, so for you the food is haram. But for me it is halal because it is your gift from me. Number one. Number two, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu drank this milk, he did not know where it came from. Right? So he drank it with good intention. What is the hukum with regard to eating or drinking something without knowledge? We don't know. You can be fasting, you can eat a whole full meal, your fast is not broken because you ate the meal without remembering that you were fasting. Right? So there is no hukam on that also. Why did Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu vomit? What was in it? So does Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu know more fiqh? Or does your mufti who gives you fatawa know more fiqh? The reason I'm saying this is because this is one of the biggest problems. Today we have two major issues. One issue is that there are people going around who are giving fatwas to say that 15% of your income can be haram, that is no problem. Some people said 30% can be haram, there is no problem. What I know is that if you give me 100 ml of clean water and put 15 ml of urine in it and tell me to drink, I will not drink. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. I will guarantee you, the same people who are giving you this fatwa, give him a glass of clean water and tell him that there is 2 drops of urine in this. He cannot even see it. Short of chemical analysis, he does not even know it is there. Will he drink it? How does he permit you to have 15% of haram income? Where did they get the 15% from? My question is this. Where did you get this percentage from? And you, like a fool, you want to believe this. So, no problem. Have your income 15% haram, 30% haram. Make sure that they put this fatwa between you and your kafan when you die in your qabr. And then hope that the insects don't eat you and your kafan with you and that fatwa, and that it is there in your hand when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. People are eating income coming from interest. They are eating income coming from restaurants where they are selling pork, and they are selling Muslim restaurants, selling pork, selling alcohol. And then they say, no, but you see, 15% I got this mufti, so and so gave me this fatwa. Please understand that mufti is not standing with you. He is not coming into your khabar and he is not standing with you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are responsible for your income. Whether any mufti tells you, whatever he tells you makes no difference. Because the fatwa does not change the hukum. And the hukum is that all interest-based earnings are haram. I did not make the hukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the hukum. And so also all other forms of haram income are haram. I mean, I'm not here to make a whole list of all the different things that, which are there. You go find out for yourself because that is your job. But make sure if you want dua to be accepted, and if you don't want to land up in the hot place, then make sure that income is halal. Number two, that also make sure the food is halal. And again, the biggest problem is chickens. Today we have made it chicken is like a life-saving drug for the Muslim. He cannot exist without eating chicken. So whether this chicken is halal, haram, jais, not jais, no problem. Just eat chicken. And then they tell you again the same thing. Somebody asked me, is machine slaughtered chicken halal? So I explained to him the entire process, because I have been to a chicken processing factory. I don't know how many of you have actually seen a factory. I have seen a factory. And I can tell you with complete and total guarantee that machine slaughtered chickens are haram, haram, haram. I have asked Umar to put the link of my lecture, Eat and Earn Halal. So listen to the detail of that. It is not possible to have halal chicken from a slaughtering factory. Any factory processed chicken, if it is machine slaughtered, if it is a factory processed chicken and it is hand slaughtered, then there is a chance that it can be. Even there, I am not sure, because I'll tell you, and I've explained, I'm not going to do the detailed explanation here, but I've explained in the lecture, so listen to that. Even there, it is not absolutely certain, but there is a good possibility that it is halal. So if it is hand slaughtered, inshallah, you can eat it. But if it is machine slaughtered, and believe me, the vast majority of chicken that is processed is machine slaughtered. If it is machine slaughtered, it is haram. If you are eating that chicken, you are eating murdar, you are eating haram. It's your wish. Now, question is this, that when you do this, what does it do to your dua? As we said, this is the problem. The dua is not accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forgive us. Now, question is, why do we do this? Let me give you an example. Supposing you are allergic to some food. Right? You are allergic to some food. And I tell you that there is a doubt that this particular thing
Some people are allergic to almonds, for example. Some of the most common allergies. Almonds, prawns, any kind of shellfish. These are the more, very common allergies. So if I tell you, if you go to Malaysia, practically everything has got prawn paste in it. Yeah? So if you, if I tell you that there is a possibility, there is some prawn in this. But the restaurant owner tells you, sir, I will give you a guarantee, there is nothing, absolutely no problem. Will you still eat it? Because you know that if you eat it, if that restaurant owner is wrong, maybe he is giving a general guarantee, but maybe that day the cook put something, we don't know. But I am telling you, look, there is a doubt, this thing might be there. Who goes to hospital? Who is likely to die, the restaurant owner or you? Who is allergic? Now my point is, you will take this precaution even with an allergy, but you don't want to take the precaution with what Allah has made haram. Right? I mean, what kind of logic is this? Second thing is, I always remind myself, whenever I have this desire to eat, eat chicken, and if I am not sure, and alhamdulillah, I never eat, but I'm just saying, I remind myself of my Brahmin friends, who we say they are kuffar, they will land in Jahannam and so on, but please understand, that Brahmin has enough faith on his stone god not to eat meat his whole life. And you don't have faith in your god not to eat chicken once. Now, what kind of Islam is this? Where did you find this Islam? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So please seriously understand, do not eat something which is doubtful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the same mufti who gave you this fatwa that machine slaughtered chicken is halal. Ask him, what is the best way, the surest way of halal? And I will give you a written guarantee. There is not a mufti in the world who will say that the best way is machine slaughter. He will tell you the best way is hand slaughtered by a Muslim who said Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and he slaughtered in the correct way, which is the two carotids and the jugular vein. This is what he will tell you, right? Every Muslim will say. Then you ask him this other question, because you are now dying to eat chicken. So you say, well, what if this and what if that? Then the mufti uses his ijtihad, and he makes the ijtihad. So whose fault is it? The best way is the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do, and that is to hand slaughter, saying Bismillah Allahu Akbar. Right? There are differences of opinion whether Bismillah is required to be said, not required to be said, whether a Muslim necessarily must slaughter, or whether the slaughter of a person who is not a Muslim but is one of the people of the book is accepted, and so on. All of these are differences of opinion. I am not going against any of them. All I am saying is, the one opinion on which everybody, Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, everyone is agreed upon, is that the best way is a Muslim slaughters, says Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and he slaughters in the correct way. This one is absolutely, there is no doubt, everyone is agreed upon. My problem is, what is your problem with eating something which is surely and definitely, inshallah, halal? What is this desire to eat haram? So please understand, earning haram and eating haram is going to land you and me in the fire. Let us save ourselves from that. If we want our dua to be accepted, if we want our ibadah to be accepted, if we want to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, then let us make sure that our earning and our eating is halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do this, and to accept our dua, and to accept our ibadah. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll talk some more about this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmur rahim.